Jeremiah chapter 13. We're studying the book of Jeremiah. Turn there, please. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get, or buy, would be a better translation of the Hebrew word. I want you to go and buy you a linen, a girdle, or a belt, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. God gives Jeremiah exact instructions of what he wants him to do. He wants him to give a physical illustration of the nation of Israel. So he says, I want you to go buy this loin girdle or loin cloth. It was a cloth that was put next to the skin, worn around the waistline. It was the intimate touching cloth to the human. God is using this as an example. I want you to put it on your loins close to you. Don't put it in water. He said, I don't want you to pollute it by putting it in water. It's to be clean, pure, and white. That's what they used to wear. So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord and put it on my loins. He follows instructions exactly as God tells him to. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, God didn't give him all the instructions to start with. He gives him part of it. You do this stage, Jeremiah, then I'll tell you more later. Now the later comes on. The second time, saying, take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, go to Euphrates, and hide it there in the cleft of the rock. If it's translated to hole, it should be cleft of rock. I want you to go to Euphrates. I want you to take this loincloth that you got that's close to you, and I want you to take it, and I want you to put it in the cleft of a rock. Now, let me say something about this translation of verse 4, Euphrates. If you get into a deep commentary study of this word, it can mean two things. It can either mean the Euphrates River, which is about 350 miles north of Jerusalem, or it can mean a town, which is about 7 miles north of Jerusalem. Which one is it? There's a lot of argument between commentators. Some say he really took it 350 miles and put it in the cleft of a rock at the Euphrates River. Some say, no, he didn't do it. He just went to that town that's about 7 miles north of Jerusalem. It doesn't make any difference which one it really is. Let me say this. The illustration that God is wanting to make is not changed either way, so you can believe either way you want to. My belief is he took it to the Euphrates River. The reason I say that is because it represents Israel. The loincloth does. It represents Israel. And where were they put in captivity? At the Euphrates. So I do think he made the 350-mile journey. That's just my opinion. It doesn't change the illustration at all, which is the most important thing. I want you to take it. I want you to put it in the cleft of a rock there. So I went, and I hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, arise, go to Euphrates, take the girdle or the belt that you've got from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. I want you to go up there, and I want you to get it. Make that trip again, Jeremiah. Now remember, this is an open class. If you have a question, don't hesitate to raise your hand and stop me and let me answer your question if I can. This is a Bible class. This is not a preaching service. Although I may sound like a preacher instead of a teacher, but I don't mean to. But this is an open Bible class. Please ask your questions if you have any. Then I went to Euphrates and digged, took the girdle from the place where I had hid it, and behold, the girdle was marred, and it was profitable for nothing. It had rotted, it had deteriorated, become soiled, and it wasn't good for anything, especially the use that it was made for originally. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner I will mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. God tells Jeremiah, this is an illustration of what I'm getting ready to do to the nation of Israel. They had a lot of pride. Jerusalem is the center. You got the temple worship here, and they're all great and wonderful things, but you've got so much pride that you have really forgotten the true worship of me, and you're worshiping Baal and all these other things that you've got in your midst here. And he said, you have become as rotten and as useless to me as that loincloth is up there, where you should have been close to me and stayed pure and closeness always in my care. You have become just nothing but a rotten, old, soiled piece of cloth, just like this loincloth that you just went and retrieved out of the cleft of that rock. Any questions? You know, in the Old Testament, God uses a lot of these everyday illustrations for these things. He says here, "This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart." Don't let that phrase go by too quickly. Imagination of their heart. What Israel had done was replace God in their hearts with their imagination. They had conjured up these gods. They conjured up all these things, these wants, these desires, the material desires of the world. And they had put that in their heart and had kicked him out. He said, the imagination of their heart and walk after other gods. Notice he uses the word plural for gods. There can be many gods. You can worship many things. As this Jewish rabbi went on to bring about what we're worshiping today in this country. And he brought it out in detail. Very great. Worship of material things. Worship in the Hollywood scene. We worship all these other things. Cars, houses, money. On and on and on. These have become the imaginations of our hearts. To serve them and to worship them. Notice what they do with these new gods that they have created here. He said, you do this in the imagination of your heart. You serve them. In other words, you worship them. And shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. Well, all your efforts that you're putting toward all these materialistic things, to these false gods, is absolutely worth nothing. It comes to absolutely zero. Look through the history of the nations of the world and look at how they have fallen down in their... They start out with great ambitions and great ideas and so forth and so on, but then they start deteriorating. And every one of them follows the same path in history. They revert to materialism, they set up other gods and so forth, and they just continue to deteriorate on down as time goes on. This is exactly what we're doing. He made mention, this Jewish rabbi did, I thought of something interesting, this Woodstock thing. Now, I don't know when y'all went to Woodstock or what, but I had an opinion of that thing at that time. I really wasn't a very knowledgeable Christian when that happened. But I told Bonnie at that time, I said, this thing is rotten, and I said, it's going to drag this country down. Now we got Bonnaroo, and we got, I don't even know what all sort of stuff is. As far as I'm concerned, this is my opinion. They're dragging this nation down. They're ungodly bunches of idolatrous worship. That's the only thing I know to call it. I hate it. I really don't dislike it. I hate it because I see what it's doing to our young people, to our nation as a whole. But you know what? Each year it gets bigger and it gets bigger and it gets bigger. Anyway, I think the other day somebody proposing, the federal government proposing to put up some kind of memorial at the Woodstock thing and make a museum out of it. How much more wicked can we get? Verse 11. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, it's close, so have I cause to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel, the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people. God said, listen, just like that loincloth, as close as you can get to a man, I had Judah and Israel, the 12 tribes together, that's what that means, the 12 tribes, the two groups. I had you as close to me as you can get, and look what you have become, that you might be for me a people. The reason I let you get that close to me and I put you that close to me is so that you can be to me a special, peculiar people. He calls Israel this all throughout Scripture. And he said, I want you for a name. I want the world to recognize who you are, that you're mine, that you're to be an example to the world and put forth my word and my precepts that you can live great by. For a praise. The Gentiles should be praising me through you because of your behavior. For a glory. They should be glorifying me because of your behavior. But they would not hear. You know, this can be a national issue which God is making it out here for the nation of Israel. You were to be something that people would look at and say, I want what they've got. I want to go to Jerusalem. I want to hear their worship. I want to see their temple. I want to be close to their God. But Israel didn't do that. Now, this equates again, not just nationally, but to individually. What about us as Christians? Do people see praise, honor, and glory in our life to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Do they, so that they say, I want what you've got? I don't know what it is you've got, but I want it. I see something in your life that makes you different than every other person I've run into, and I would like to know what it is you've got. I want some of it. Now, that's what we should be doing. We as each individual in our lives daily should live our lives such that the people we meet, the people we work with, whatever circumstance surrounds us, they see something totally different, and they want it. That's what we should be doing in this age in our lives. Any questions on that? You know, I tell people that I'm witnessing to that are not Christians, I tell them, once you become the Lord's, you're His. And everything you do is to honor and glorify Him. Now, we're humans, and I know we all fail. I fail just as much as anybody else, maybe even more. But our directive, our objective every day should be to bring honor and glory to Him. That's what our life is all about. Any questions? Okay. Verse 12. Therefore, thou shalt speak unto them this word. Jeremiah, I want you to tell the nation of Israel. This was what they were supposed to be doing, but I want you to give this word to them. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall say unto thee, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? Jeremiah, you tell them, hey, the bottles there are supposed to be filled with wine. And Israel's going to come back and reply to you, think we're stupid? Don't you think we know that? Well, it's the same illustration. Israel, you should be filled with my word and my joy and my glory and my honor, but you're not, just like these wine bottles here. You know it was supposed to be done, but why don't you do it? Then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sat upon David's throne, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. Instead of having the sweet wine of joy, which that's what that represents, I'm going to fill you with the opposite end of that. I'm going to fill you with drunkenness, which means they're not going to have any clarity of mind. They're not going to know what they should be doing. They have reached the degradation of a point that they're just like a drunk man staggering around. Everybody's seen a drunk. I never will forget. I think the worst incident I ever saw in the Air Force, I came home one night. I had a late night flight, and I came in about midnight, and I drove up my driveway, and here's this man laying across the driveway. I almost ran over him. So I stopped and go over and roll him over, and it's my neighbor. Bonnie and I lived in the upstairs apartment, and he and his wife lived in the downstairs apartment. Well, he's laying face down in the gravel, and passed out. He was drunk as he could be. So I pick him up. I'm not going to tell you his name. I still remember his name. I pick him up, put him over my shoulder, haul him in the front door of the apartment complex. This old house we lived in built in the 1800s, so it gives you some imagination of what we lived in. And I knock on his door. Well, his wife finally comes to the door, and she said, he's not sleeping in here tonight. I said, what do you want me to do with him? She said, I don't care, but he's not sleeping in here. I said, well, give me a pillow and I'll lay him out here in the hallway till tomorrow morning. God says, this is the way you're going to be, Israel. You're going to be drunk. You're not even going to know where you are, what you're doing, or anything about a normal lifetime. This is the way you're going to be. With drunkenness, instead of the wine of joy and happiness, the peace that passes understanding, this is the way you're going to be. I will dash them one against another, even the fathers, the sons together, saith the Lord. I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them. I'm not going to have any mercy on them. They've reached the point to where I'm going to have judgment on them. I'm not going to spare anything, and they're going to be fighting amongst themselves. There's going to be no peace in the land. Any questions so far? All right. Hear ye, and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. You better listen up. You better get rid of your pride. You know, we here in America today, some of us, some of our government officials have a lot of pride, and we have things that we should be prideful about. But we're losing the base things that we should be prideful about in our country. Give glory to the Lord your God before He caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, He turned it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. He said before you pass this point of no return and you start stumbling around like somebody in the dark trying to climb a mountain. If you've ever been stumbling around in the dark, Jalen back there can tell you a story about us down in Nicaragua. That night we went out into the village down on the river banks, and it was so dark, and we were treading on the edge of a river bluff, and we were all holding on to each other's back of the pants. Lori back there, you back there too. Lori had to admit to Teddy when she got back that she said, Teddy, I've got to tell you something. Said, I had to hold on to a man's belt. But after I got through telling Teddy the whole story of what she and I and Jalen did on that night walking down that river in the darkness, you could fall off that cliff, that's what we had to do. It was in darkness. We were trying to go help a lady that was down on the river, laying basically on a bed of sticks with a blanket on her, and she was having a baby. She was in trouble. And they didn't usually let people out of the compound at night in that village. And so I went and asked the team leader for volunteers, and Jalen and Lori for the two nurses, and they volunteered to go out in the night down this village. And you didn't normally do those things. They're brave ladies, let me tell you, to help this lady that was having this baby that was in trouble. You could be stumbling around in gross darkness is what you can be doing. Israel is what you're going to be. But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. Mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Jeremiah says, if you don't straighten up and you force God to bring this judgment down upon you, I'm going to cry many a tear. I'm going to shed many a tear for you. I'm going to cry in a place. I'm going to weep with great mourning over what's going to happen to you when what's left of you is carried away in mourning. Anybody? Questions? Anything? Okay. Say unto the king and to the queen. By the way, this king here, talking about, is probably Jehoiachin. He ruled Israel for 3 months. He was about 18 years old when he was taken captive by the Babylonians in one of the three raids that they made down in Jerusalem. There, his mother, she probably was the ruler. She probably had the power. It was his mother, the queen mother. They both were taken captive back to Babylon, by the way. And this is who Jeremiah is talking about. He was 18. He was due to become full in power once he reached manhood. But he never reached it because Nebuchadnezzar hauled him back to Babylon as a captive, and his mother as well. Humble yourselves, he says. Sit down, for your principality shall come down, the crown of your glory. They ain't going to take the crowns off your heads that you wear as rulers of Israel. When they capture you and take you, they're going to take your crowns off your head. So you kings, you prophets, you priests, you think you're high up. You may be exempt from all this. You're not. You're going to be treated just like everybody else. The cities of the south shall be shut up, and none shall open. Judah shall be carried away captive, all of it. It shall be wholly carried away captive. He said, when you try to flee from Jerusalem and you go south, they're going to shut the doors on you down there. You're not going to be able to go in. You're not going to escape down there in that area. So don't think that's going to help you. You know, every time you see war, And you see the pictures of World War II and all these people coming out of these cities just in long lines trying to escape the invading armies. It usually never solves one thing on these trying to escape. But this is what he tells Israel. You're going to go to the south. You're going to try to get into these villages down there. They're going to shut the doors. They're not going to listen to you. Just like Napoleon's army when it was retreating from Russia. They tried to get into these villages and tried to get in to get food and starved by the tens of thousands of people shut their doors, closed their windows, wouldn't let them in, even though they had gold in their hands. They buried them with gold in their pockets and in their hands because nobody would let them in. This is the way you're going to be, Israel. Lift up your eyes and behold them that come from the north. Where is the flock that was given thee, thy beautiful flock? Israel, you were once a beautiful flock. This is the way God looked at you. And now you're not, and these hordes are going to come from the north and they're going to take over the flock and they won't be beautiful anymore. What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? For thou hast taught them to be captains, chiefs over thee. Shall not sorrows take thee as a woman in travail? He said, listen, you've taught these Gentiles really how to be captives over you. And that's what they're going to do. What are you going to say when they come in and do that? When they're put into positions of power over you, you're not going to have anything really to say about it. No rebuttal whatsoever. You taught them that. And if thou say in thine heart, wherefore come these things upon me? For the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered and thy heels made bare. This is an illustration to things that happened in the Old Testament. God is saying here, I'm going to show your shamefulness to the open world, is what he's talking about, the skirts and the heels made bare. So I'm going to show the world your shame, is what I'm going to do. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? That's the dark-skinned people. Or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good that are accustomed to it. You've done so much evil. You're ingrained so much in evil that you're just like the Ethiopian that's black. He can't change to white. You just like the leopard, he's got spots and he can't change them. It's his nature now. And this is what you've done. You've become so evil that nature has turned you into an evil being. And you're not capable of changing it now. Excuse me. Any questions? Well, Jeremiah is a pretty deep book. Therefore, will I scatter them as the stubble that passes away by the wind of the wilderness? This is thy lot, the portion of my measurements from me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Therefore will I discover thy skirts upon thy face, and thy shame may appear. This verse 26 is referring to a thing that they did in the Old Testament times when a woman was captured or a prostitute. They caught her in prostitution. They would take her and pull her skirt up over her head and show her nakedness to the world to shame her in disgrace. Just something they did. If you got captured as a prisoner, your enemies did that to you if you were a woman. So that's what God is saying here. I'm going to shame you before the world just like you do the captives or the prostitutes that you catch in your midst. This is what I'm going to do to you, Israel. I'm going to put shame on you. Any questions? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and finish this chapter here. I have seen thine adulteries and thy lyings like a wild beast that's out of control. The lewdness of thy whoredom, thine abominations on the hills and the fields. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem. Wilt thou not be made clean? Jerusalem, don't you want to be clean? What's wrong with you? Your heart is evil. It's dirty. It's filthy. Don't you want to be clean? And when shall it once as it once be? When are you going to do this? When are you going to make this turnaround? When are you going to change your life to like it should be? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this study. Thank you for the illustrations that you gave Jeremiah to not only show those people of that time, but to show us in our time as to how we should live, how we should honor, how we should glorify you, Lord, in everything that we do. We thank you for these words of warnings. Let us take them today to heart. In your holy and precious name, we ask these things. Amen. Y'all have a great week, and call me if you need me.